As we prepare our hearts this morning for our time in God's Word together, we just want to take a few moments right now to just turn our internal focus to the one that we've just been singing to our great and awesome God, who sent his Son Jesus as the Lamb, who was crucified for our sins, who has, by his stripes, we have been healed. We have been brought from death unto life. And that makes a huge difference in how we live our lives every day. You know, we may have struggles, we may have troubles, we may have that struggle with sin, those things that hinder us and the things that so easily entangle us. And yet, we have this opportunity today just to come collectively as a body and as individuals to come before God and just quiet our hearts before him. So let's take a few moments in silent reflection, silent prayer, just preparing our hearts to hear God speak to us from his word. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the times of silence and stillness, where you invite us to be still and know that you are God. We know, Lord Jesus, that when you were on earth with us, that you took times to just get aside, get away from everything, just to be in that solitude so that you could commune, you could be really in tune with the Father, and thank you for that example that reminds us of just how important it is to draw away into the silence so that we can hear you speak. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you meet us here as we gather together as your body. Where two or three are gathered together in your name, you promise that you will be here in the midst, in our midst. And so, Lord, we invite you to walk among us, to touch us, to shape us, to mold us in our thinking, in our heart's desires. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the way that you poured out your Holy Spirit and how your Holy Spirit is the one that guides us and directs us and leads us into an understanding of your truth. So we invite you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right now just to be present here with us as we enter into this time of studying your word together. Lord, speak for your servants. Your church is listening. Today's the first Sunday of the month of March. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But this year so far, we've kind of taken as our unofficial theme, building the body of Christ inside and out. And so we've been on the first Sunday of each month taking the opportunity to do some bodybuilding, right? Bodybuilding. And we've been looking at various aspects of the body of Christ and what is it all about? And we've come to understand that we are the body of Christ. As the church, as this fellowship that meets together here at Edmondson Heights Baptist Church in the building, we are more than just a building. If you were here a little early this morning and you saw that little video that introduced us to what the service today, it was talking about the church. What is the church? And so far in our time of bodybuilding together, we've come to an understanding that we are a community of believers who are joined together by our love for Christ and for one another. We are a Holy Spirit organized and empowered community, a body made up of many different interconnected, indispensable parts. And as part of Christ, we are part of God's masterpiece, the church. And as part of God's masterpiece, we have a responsibility to be who we were created in Christ Jesus to be and to do what we were made to do best in the body of Christ. We talked about that last time we were together. We talked about exercising the body. And we are to be all to be faithful stewards of the sacred trust God has given to us for the common good of the body. Therefore, we are to exercise our gifts within the body, those spiritual gifts. And, motivation is so important. What is it that motivates us? I have to confess that after speaking to you the first Sunday in February, when I talked about exercising and we were talking about all of us kind of being not really good at exercising our own bodies, I kind of got motivated. And I went out, and the next day I went into the fitness and wellness center here, and I took out a month membership just to, get my feet wet, not just my feet, but my body, because I like to go swimming. And so I've been swimming 3 times a week since then, putting about 6 kilometers in the water each week. So, I was highly motivated after last month's talk to actually start to exercise more and get out walking. I made it my goal to bring in walking and swimming into my daily routines. But if we're going to begin to exercise this body, the body of Christ, we need to have that motivation to get healthy and to really start to put our money where our mouth is, and be active in exercising our body. And it's one thing to know all these things. It's another thing to begin to understand why are we doing the things that we're doing. Why? Why do we exercise the body? Why do we come together as the body of Christ? Why? It's an important question that we have to understand. Do we have a clear understanding of why we're here as the body of Christ? A number of years ago, I was involved, I'll confess, I got involved in network marketing. How many of you have ever been involved in network? You don't have to say that. You don't have to answer that. Because I know network marketing kind of has a, but it's an interesting animal when you are involved in it, because one of the primary things that that they drill into you in the training times for in the network marketing business is that they really encourage you to understand your why. Why are you doing this business? Why are you putting in all the time? Why are you doing what you're doing? What is your purpose? And what they understand is that if you don't have a really clear understanding of your purpose, your why, then you can get distracted. Other things can become a priority. You can kind of go through the motions of things and not really have success in what you're out to accomplish. You know, the goals that you set for yourself, the objectives that you have that you want to accomplish. If you don't understand why you're here, why you're doing what you're doing, then you're not going to have success. And if your why doesn't motivate you and thrust you forward, propel you forward, then you're not going to be successful. That's what I learned in network marketing. You know what I learned even more about the why is that, you know, if we're going to understand why we're here, why we should be committed to being faithful stewards of what God has entrusted us with in this particular part of the body, because if we're going to understand why we are here, we need to understand why Jesus was here. You know, did Jesus have a why? I'm throwing that out there as a question, okay? It's not a rhetorical question there. But did Jesus have a why? Yes? And what was his why? Why did Jesus come? Okay, to be a bridge between us and the Father. To deal with sin. To redeem us from sin, yeah. Okay, all of those are really good. Like we can look at his life and we can go, yeah, he was motivated by all those things. But what did Jesus tell us was his why? Let me share with you from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. He said this one day, you know, this was after he had been baptized. He'd gone out into the wilderness for 40 days. He comes back to the synagogue in Capernaum, I believe it was Capernaum, to Nazareth. And he says this, Luke tells us this. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and as he was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And here's what Jesus says, reads from Isaiah's scroll. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everybody in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Did you catch it? Jesus knew what his why was. He understood what was the purpose for which he was there. And he grounded it in his understanding of Isaiah the prophet. And then later on, what we read in John chapter 10, verses 7 and 11, again, we could go to many different places, but because we're in the book of John, we're going to get to this eventually, but I want to just put it out there for you right now to kind of get a sense that, you know what, Jesus knew his purpose. very clearly. And he says this in John 10, 7 to 11. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. But I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out, go out and find pasture. For the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus knew why he was here. And he made it very clear to his disciples what his purpose was. And if as the body of Christ, you know, it should be one of our main focuses to understand why we are here as part of the body of Christ. For we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good things, the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And that's all because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So why are we here? That's a question that we need to understand. Why are you part of Edmondson Heights Baptist Church? Why are you here gathering each Sunday morning? Why? Why? You know, it is really a bottom line question. It's one that really speaks to our motivation. Why are we here? It's a question that cuts to our hearts. Why are we connected to this body of Christ, this fellowship here? It's a question that each one of us must wrestle with. You know, what is it? Why is it? What is our purpose for being here today? Why are you here? What is your purpose for coming together as the body of Christ? So, you know, I've set that all up because I want you to think about that. Not only think about it, but I want you to begin to express that today. And in our time of reflection this morning, this reflection question around the table where you're sitting, I'd like you to take a moment to answer the question. That there's a sheet of paper on the table there in front of you. It's a smaller sheet of paper, half sheet, and the half sheet has the questions, the reflection questions. Take a few moments to reflect on these things. Why are you here? What is your purpose for being a part of Edmondson Heights Baptist Church? What do you think that is, personally? And then also think about, from your understanding, what is to be our purpose together as a local expression of the body of Christ? Those two things might come together. Those two things might be a little different. You might have your own purpose, but think about what the purpose of this church really is as we come together. So take a few moments to think about that, and then take 5 to 7 minutes to talk about that at the table, okay? Go. Take another 30 seconds or so to wrap up whoever's speaking. All right. So I know from just listening kind of catching a sense of your conversations at the table. You're all now experts into this whole question as to why we are the body of Christ. What motivates us? Why are we together? What is our purpose? So, you know, that was just an opportunity to kind of hear what everybody is thinking, but let's turn our thoughts now to what the scriptures tell us is the purpose of the body of Christ. Why are we together? And who are we to be as we come together? And the first thing that we notice from the scriptures is that together we're to be an expression of Christ's love. How many at your group recognize that that's part of the purpose of the body of Christ is to be an example or expression of Christ's love? Any tables? Yep. Okay, good. We're on the right track. And here's where we get that anchored in Scripture. Okay, that's John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, where Jesus says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command. I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is my command, love each other." You know, Jesus has commanded this. You know, so as a community, as the body of Christ, we are commanded by Jesus to be a community where love is expressed freely. Love expressed freely. So what does that really mean? How do we begin to express love for one another? Well, it's through that thing called friendship. Purposeful friendship. Building friendships within the body of Christ. Building friendships, you know, and what does it look like to be a fellowship of friends? You know, Christ said, "No, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends." Did you know that Jesus called his disciples friends? They were friends. They weren't just, you know, "I'm the rabbi, you're my servant, you're my students." No, you are my friends. Friendship. What does friendship look like, though? I mean, how many of you would say you have at least one friend in the world? I hope everybody, if not, come and see me. Okay? Because friendship is so important. Where would we be without our friends? Those people who we can talk to, we can share life with. You know, the church is to be a fellowship of friends. Not just casual acquaintances, but friendships, deep bonds of friendship within the body of Christ. You know, that's part of the reason why we're doing this table thing. You know, why we have tables here now and not just rows where you sit and you look at the person's head in front of you every week. You kind of come in, look at the person, say, "Oh, that's great. They got a nice hairdo. You know, they had a new hair. They went and got their hair cut this week." And then you get up and you walk out the door and you're gone for the week. Now, when we sit around the tables, what begins to happen? We begin to get to know each other, what other people are thinking, how other people are feeling. We get to build this fellowship of friends. Friends. And that is so important, because as a fellowship of friends, we are to be a place where our need for love, acceptance, and belonging are met within a caring community of faithful friends. Isn't that so true? When you get to know people, you start to have a sense of belonging. I belong to this place. I belong to these people. I'm connected. And You know, it's a circle, this fellowship of friends is also a circle of friends who are willing to give all they have for each other. You know, I'd go out of my way to care for and minister to and encourage my friends. Willing to, as Jesus said, lay down my life for my friends. You know, a number of years ago, I don't know how many of you ever seen the movie The Lord of the Rings, that whole trilogy of movies. But or how many of you read R.R. Tolkien's book, the Lord of the Rings? That's an epic, you know, big, huge book. But to read, but in there, in the movies, there's this thing called the Fellowship of the Rings. Little Frodo, is given this task of carrying this ring to take it and get it and destroy this ring that is the ring that is above all others, and there's an evil presence in the ring that's guiding, you know, that dominates whoever carries the ring. And Frodo is trying to get it to Mount Doom to destroy it, and he has a fellowship of friends around him, the Fellowship of the Ring. And they go on this journey, and one of them is Samwise Gamgee. And Samwise is his best friend. He sticks with him through the whole journey, and they get to Mount Doom, and the journey's been arduous, it's been hard, and Frodo and Sam are coming up the hit Mount Doom, and Frodo is getting more and more tired, he's getting more and more worn out by the carrying of this dark ring, and he collapses. And Sam bends down beside him and says, "Frodo, Mr. Frodo, think of the Shire. Think of all the good things that are there, and you know, have that motivate you to get up and keep going, because we don't want to lose the beauty of what we've been given." And Frodo looks up at him and says, "Sam, I can't see anything. I'm just so overwhelmed by this, the darkness. I'm done. I can't go on." And these are the words that he says to Frodo. He says, "Mr. Frodo, I may not be able to carry that ring for you, but I can carry you." And so he picks him up and puts him on his shoulders. And as tired as he was, he starts trudging up the mountain to get to their destination so Frodo can get rid of the ring and destroy it. Friends, a fellowship of friends, will go and give all they have to help one another. We are to be an expression of Christ's love. And what are the characteristics? What are the characteristics of a loving community? Well, we see it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. He says, where Paul says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Characteristics of a loving community. First one is that we build a loving community by being completely humble and gentle with each other. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be humble with each other? You know, humility is important within loving relationships. For where there's pride and arrogance, there's barriers to friendship and love. Pride keeps us back from being open and transparent with each other. Pride keeps the masks on. We don't want other people to know what we're going through. We don't want, you know, that's That's, you know, pride. Keeps the masks on, keeps us at a surface level in our relationships. Pride is really the fear of being found out for who you really are, right? So we put up that barrier, not letting anybody see us. But humility, on the other hand, leads to openness. It opens doors to deeper levels of friendship. But, you know, we all know that humility is a little risky. In order to be humble with each other, we must be willing to be vulnerable, exposing our softer side, letting people see our weaknesses, letting people minister to us in our weaknesses. It's kind of asking each other for help when we need it. That's humility. And this is why Paul instructs us to be completely gentle with each other, gentle with each other's weaknesses. For love does not exploit another's weakness, but seeks to come alongside to gently instruct, encourage, and to build up. So that's the first characteristic. The second characteristic of a loving community is that we build a loving community by being patient and bearing with each other in love. What does it mean to bear with each other in love? Well, bearing with each other means that we make room in our hearts for those who are different than us by extending the grace of Christ. And since we're not all at the same place in our faith development or understanding and confidence in the use of our gifts, we need to be patient with each other and not heap unrealistic expectations on each other. You know, another thing about bearing with each other is that we may disagree with each other from time to time. Is there anyone in the room that agrees with everybody else in the room about the things of life? I don't think so. You know, as a body of Christ, we're not going to always agree with each other. But that's why we need to bear with each other through the disagreements, maintaining love and respect for one another, not creating hard feelings or putting up walls of hostility. And that because we know from experience, I know from experience within the church, when that happens, it tears apart the fabric of the body of Christ. You know, hostility destroys relationship and suppresses love. Patience and forbearance are marks of God's amazing love. And so, you know, we make it our goal to love one another as Christ has loved us. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of disagreements, unmet expectations, frustrations, and sins. And we're all called to love one another. Christ has commanded it. And Jesus says that we are his friends if we do what he commands. So love one another as I have loved you, he says. And this goes so far as, you know, the Apostle Paul speaks of the importance of loving one another in this way, bearing with each other, being humble and gentle with each other. Because he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, what does he say? I am nothing. It doesn't amount to anything. The fellowship doesn't amount to anything when we don't have love for one another. When we don't express that love for one another, how can we be that agent of love and grace and peace in the world around us? If we as the body of Christ are not loving one another. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Nothing. So it's so important for us to understand that together we are to be an expression of Christ's love. And another thing that we are called to in terms of our purpose together is that we are called to promote the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And this really means that, you know, as the body of Christ, we are placed together in the body to be a community where peace and harmony are the desired norm. You know, so many other places out in the world around us right now, you know, I look at government. There's no peace or harmony in government right now. All over this world, there's so much disharmony, no peace. There's war all over. There's all kinds of factions everywhere. That cannot be in the body of Christ. That's not what we were called to. In the body of Christ, we're called to be a place where peace and harmony are normal, are the norm. And what does that look like? As members of one body, we are called to peace. As members of God's family, Christ's love rules in our hearts, and we are therefore called to live in peace with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful. Be that expression of peace as the body of Christ. We are placed together in the body of Christ to share God's family values. Did you know that? That's what we're all about. Sharing God's family values with one another. We are placed together in the body to come to an agreement, come to a place where we encourage one another around those things that are the major things. You know, there are many minor things that can divide us within the body of Christ if we let them. We're instructed by the Apostle Paul not to major on the minors, but to keep God's big picture in mind. He says this, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. In all. You know, these are our shared family values. You know, if you look at each one of these things that Paul talks about here, they're the core values that we hold to as the body, that we should be unified on as we live out our faith together. We are one in the hope that we have in the salvation in Jesus. Amen? Amen. We are one under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is our sovereign head. We are one in faith. Together we believe the promises of God and act on the teachings of his word. That's what we are united together to be. An expression of faith together. We are one in the baptism that we've received, water and spirit. We are one in the family of God. All of these are God's family values. And as the body of Christ, we are to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in the sharing of these values. You know, there's so much that unites us together as members of the body of Christ. That's sad when we stop and think about it, how easy it is to become fractured and divided over relatively small or insignificant stuff, like furniture. Do you know some churches have fought battles over furniture? You know, it's hard to imagine, but you know, it's like, how do you move the piano from one side of the church to the other side of the church? 1 inch at a time. So, you know, I mean, I remember in some churches that I've been involved in, you cannot move some furniture around, or you cannot dispose of something, even when it's no longer useful. We had an organ in one church. All the tubes were shot. You couldn't get the tubes anywhere anymore. You couldn't even play it anymore, and it was front and center at the front of the church. And, you know, to just move it around the corner, that was thing. And then to even think about moving it out of the sanctuary, it was a battleground. Majoring on minor things. And it's sad when stuff like furniture or even music. You know, music, there have been music battles in churches for eons. And programs. Oh, this program, we should do this. We can't get rid of this program. We can't do that. Minor things compared to the majors. The major things that we are called to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's so important if we are going together fulfill the purpose for which God has created us together in Christ Jesus. And you know, and this is where it's so important to get some guidance on this again from Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 18, where he says this: love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, I'm not going to go into all the everything here, because I mean, you can read it for yourself in your Bible. You can take this passage and you can meditate on it. You can reflect on it. You can look at it and say, wow, God, you've set out for me a real program here, how to live my purpose of loving other people. This is a step-by-step program, if you want to take it on. Reflect on it. Live it. You know, for with these words, Paul gives us some helpful hints on developing purposeful unity, the path for unity, sincerity in our love for God, hating evil, holding on to what's good, devoting our devotion to brotherly love, having zeal and faithfulness, and how we live our life. You know, the desire to love and promote unity in the body of Christ is a choice that we make every day. If we're going to become a healthy body, we need to make that choice to follow these instructions. You know, our purpose is not just to maintain what we presently have and preserve it. We're called to be loving and a unified body to fulfill the purposes for which God created us to fulfill, created us to be, to fulfill the purpose for which the church has been established. And therefore, we need to take up our unique birthright. Why? Because that's what we were created to be. We were created to be witnesses of Christ's love, his compassion, his ministry of bringing reconciliation into the world. The impact, you know, the impact of our being and fulfilling this purpose is what Jesus prayed for just before he died on the cross. Jesus prayed for the unity and impact of his church in the world. And this is what he said in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 24 as he prayed. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world." See, this is what Jesus' motivation was. This is Jesus' why. And at the end of his life, just before he went to the cross, he prayed this prayer, asking that the Father would help us to be unified and loving in order to impact the world around us. Jesus prayed not just for his disciples, but for every single human being that would come to believe in him through the ages. That's us. He prayed that through his body, the church, others might see who he was and believe in him. He prayed that through the unity and love within the church, the world would experience his presence and understand his love is available to all who will receive him. That's what our purpose is. That's why we exist as the body of Christ. We are his hands, his feet. That's why we're called a body. The body of Christ. As if Christ were making his appeal through us. That's why we exist. So, this morning, why should we commit ourselves to our, commit ourselves, our time, our resources to being part of this church, this body of Christ? Well, Francis Schaeffer puts it this way. He says, it's a true sign of the church when true Christians love one another. The church is to be a loving church in a dying world. Get it? You know, Jesus' prayer was that his family, his body on earth, would be a people characterized by love and unity and filled with the purpose of sharing the good news of Christ together, We aren't just meant to be lone wolves out there doing, you know, ministry. We are to do this together. So that together as the body, we would be a life-giving fellowship, a community of believers that holds out to others the source of life in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prayed that his church would be a strong and healthy community, building community inside and out. And as the body of Christ, we have been set apart. We've been called out to be Jesus' plan A for reaching a dying world with his love. You know that? Plan A. I am entrusting this ministry to you, my disciples, to you, all who have believed in Jesus' name, all who have come together under into the family, the forever family of God. I have entrusted this to you, and you are my plan A for reaching the world. And guess what? It's a hard thing to remember, but Jesus has no plan B. Either we take up the call that we have received, and to reach out to our neighbors and people around us, fulfill the purpose for which we have been called, the why that we have, or else the world continues on spinning out of control and people end up in a Christless eternity. We are God's plan A for reaching the world. That is our motivation, to love Christ, to love others, and to see them come to that place of knowing Christ. And that's what this is all about, this reminder to us today, the table. In just a few moments, we're going to go to the table. And as we go to the table today, we're going to have you share in communion around the table with each other. And when we do that, we're just going to ask one person to take the responsibility of distributing the elements around the table, and then we'll partake together. But let me just have a word of prayer before we do, and then we have a video that we're going to have as the person who at your table who's going to distribute the elements will take that and distribute them. All right, so let me just pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for just the reminder today of what it means to be part of the body of Christ and why we're here individually, corporately, and what your word has to say to us about being the body and taking up our purpose of being your witnesses in the world. Lord, help us to love one another as you have loved us. And so that the world around us might see that you are the Savior of the world. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.